Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Souther.
Hey buddy, doubleheader.
Doubleheader.
Here we go, right into the second show.
Right.
Is this a speakeasy first?
I think so. Yeah, man.
Back to back shows.
We just have too many guests, man. It's crazy.
We do. We're getting real popular.
It's great.
It is great. So we just chatted for about 45 minutes with Brad Thomas Parsons.
Yeah, sure did.
About his new book, Distillery Cats, which is just a charming little book, and well written, and makes you want to go visit a bunch of distilleries and pet some cats.
Yep.
And now we're moving right into a bitter discussion. We're going to talk some bitters, a subject that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, and Brad Thomas Parsons.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's why, I always like having him on the show.
Yeah, man.
And seeing him around the bars and whatnot.
Yeah, of course.
So in the studio today, we got a packed house. We have Mateo Lissardo from Lissardo. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, guys.
Welcome.
We got G.
What up?
He's like Cher. He just has the one. He doesn't have one name. He has one letter. G. G, who is a global ambassador. Your territory is the planet.
Planet Earth.
For Lissardo.
For my sins.
Quietly in the corners, we've got Rose Robinson and Tori back here as well. Yeah? Cool.
Your dad's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Robin Robinson.
Robin Robinson.
He's the best.
That dude knows a crap ton about whiskey.
About life in general.
And that's true as well. He's a keen observer of the human condition, and he's good at reiterating what's going on around you, and yep. telling good stories. Speaking of good stories, let's talk about Lissardo. Holy cow, this stuff's been around a long time.
Enough. We are
enough.
Enough. We are more or less 196 years old. So
196.
196.
Yeah. I mean, for America, that's really old.
Yeah, for us too.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially for a family-owned business.
It's been in the family the whole time, right?
It's been in the family of the whole time.
You're sixth generation?
I'm the sixth generation. The seventh generation is already working in it with us.
Yeah.
So it's going well.
Yeah, you guys, I hope you make it.
Yeah. At least 200.
I feel like you're going to make it.
At least until 200 years old.
I think you're going to go even further than that.
Which will be 2021, so it's not very far away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many marks in your portfolio at this point under the Lissardo brand with the name Lissardo right on it?
Too many.
Too many. No, never too many.
Never too many. Every year we come out with something interesting, something new. So, but we have to delete something old. So,
well, it's...
Not the Maraschino for sure. But.
The Maraschino obviously is the sort of giant of your portfolio.
Yeah.
Lissardo Maraschino has been around the whole time, right?
Whole time, yeah.
Is that the first product?
Was born with the Maraschino. Actually,
which came first, the Maraschino cherries or the Maraschino liqueur?
Yeah, the chicken and the egg.
Okay, we don't know. Is that the thing?
Obviously, the cherries. But when the company was founded, the city of Zara here was the city of the Maraschino. So there were older Maraschino companies in that city. And the recipe came from the monks. And the first person at home, Luxardo family, that started producing the Maraschino was Maria Cannavari. She was the wife of the founder of Luxardo. So 1800s was very common for the housewives to produce homemade cordials.
Sure.
And in this case, it was a Rosolio Maraschino. So it was a
Rosolio, which is a dead, it's being resurrected, but it was a dead category, right?
Yes and no, because Maraschino is a Rosolio.
Oh, it is?
We did, yeah, Maraschino is a Rosolio. Rosolio is, every liqueur in Italy is a Rosolio.
Okay.
At the end, because before was cherry distillate, sugar, and roses inside. But then the first liqueurs, they were called Rosolio.
Right, and it loosely translates to mean like morning, like morning dew, right? Rosolio, isn't that what it means? Loose?
No, Rosolio is rose oil.
Oh, man, I'm way off base. I get it. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I figure it's one of those things that's been kind of changed and lost throughout history. Sort of thing, like with a definition.
Yeah, because I've only recently been reading about Rosolios.
Yeah.
And obviously maybe I'm reading some of it wrong, or I'm translating the information wrong.
Yeah.
Those glasses aren't that old, man. You got to get some new ones already.
Yeah, right? November. They'd be a year old. But these kind of predate what we know to be Amari, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the research that I've done, which is quite lengthy, is that originally sort of like, you know, it was a liqueur that would have rose in it, sort of thing. And that's obviously where the name came from. But then throughout time, throughout time, it fell out of favor. But also it's kind of become a blanket for, let's say, floral styles of liqueurs.
Sure.
Sort of thing. So obviously you've got the Maraschino. For us is, you know, our most famous Rosolio. There's a big debate about, you know, whether limoncello is a Rosolio or not. I tend not to wade into that debate too much.
It's a big one.
Our hot dog sandwiches, is it one of those?
Yeah. As an English person, I don't think I... My opinion doesn't count.
Well, if you're gonna spearhead the brand all over the planet, I think you at least have some say.
Definitely.
Some truck in that race.
Definitely, but you know, I'm not gonna pick sides when it comes to.
Yeah, well, you just boil arguments. It down to is it or isn't it delicious?
How about it's that? Delicious.
There we go.
Exactly.
That's the ultimate goal, right? To make delicious product.
Oh yeah.
So Maraschino liqueur has been around forever. Maraschino cherry has been around forever.
Yep.
Holds a place in the canon of classic cocktails, you know.
I feel like I see a lot more Luxardo products coming out over the past like decade. At least becoming more available, like Triplum and you know, the bitter and the aperitif and stuff like that. Do you think that part of that was due to the fact that like you had the resurgence of like the last word cocktail and the aviation and stuff like that pushed the Maraschino sales forward.
I think definitely, but then also, you know, Luxardo is one of those companies that's kind of, you know, we've had a rebirth, you know.
For sure.
Like World War II was not the greatest time, you know. And, you know, like Matteo will be able to tell you a little bit more because, you know, it's his family. But, you know, World War II, like, yeah, they lost everything. Like they had to relocate by force, and you know, start the company from scratch. So prior to World War II, you know, we were one of the biggest distilleries in Europe, you know, and there were so many different products that they did. And then having to start from scratch in 1946, you know, you're producing like a limited range of liqueurs, but then you keep on finding your old recipes and saying, hey, we've got the space to do this now.
Then we have a second renaissance like 10 years ago when all this cocktail vibe came back. With the old fashions and, you know, the last word and
the improved. An improved cocktail can't be made without Maraschino.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just you can use the Maraschino everywhere in your cocktails. Just even a small teaspoon, it helps to enhance all the flavors.
Yeah. I always think that Maraschino liqueur, especially the Luxardo one, it's like, it is best friends with grapefruit juice, man.
Sure. Hemingway daiquiri. Yeah. Coming right up.
Yep. It's sometimes, you know, you can have like sometimes like if it's off balance, you can have like it'll kind of like go a little too dry, but like if you balance out your Maraschino with the grapefruit, it's like really beautiful and floral, almost like it has like a really beautiful floral like dry vermouth like in it, but it doesn't, it's just like kind of mixes perfectly, you know, if you do it right, you know.
Well, this new product, the Bitter Bianco, it's with grapefruit, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I squeak in the maraschino everywhere, or at least I did for sure in my kind of earlier days in the game, where I was like, okay, I feel like I can put this into things and simultaneously make them sweeter and drier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it becomes this like ingredient that I've put into a drink that changes the drink, catapults it forward, enhances its flavor, and no one can figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they'll guess. If there's five ingredients in the drink, they'll guess four out of five and be like, I'm lost on that last one. And then that's the thing that's tying the whole thing together.
Yeah. Do you ever make your Remember the Maine with maraschino, or do you use like any other kind of cherry, like brandy? Or
yeah, we've definitely made the Remember the Maine. And then Ari Form, who's been on the show before me, he used to make a version of the Remember the Maine at Amore Margo called Dismember the Pain. And it had maraschino in it, of course.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Love and miss that guy terribly. So there's no question about your seat in the pantheon of classic cocktails with the maraschino. And you've got other things that I don't think people know enough about all your marks. That's why I'd asked you earlier. One of my favorites kind of eclipses all of them for me is Abano, right?
Yeah, Mount Abano.
Peppery and like savory. And I put that in all kinds of things. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
For me, that's one of my favorite ingredients as well. It's, you know, I think Amaro at the moment is, you know, a big trend and stuff like that. And a lot of people are trying to sort of, you know, experiment and taste it. But a lot of times they can be put off, you know, like the first thing they'll try will be like Fennet or something like, you know, pow in your face, like with a bitterness. And you kind of, the flavor gets lost in that, in the strength of that bitterness. But with the Abano, it's like a medium Amaro, and like every sip that you have, there's like a different flavor that comes out. It's like, whoa, is this mint? Is this chocolate? Is that coffee going on? Was that cinnamon? You know,
yeah.
It just keeps on going.
Yeah, it definitely changes and evolves both on its own or in cocktails as well.
Yeah.
Even if it's written Amaro in, on the label, which means bitter in English, it's not so bitter. It's, you know, it's a lot of, it's very fruity, very... very pleasant product.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to remind people of that all the time. You know, you guys were at my bar yesterday, Amore Margo, and I have to remind people of that all the time. They come in and they think that everything I have is just straight bitter, and I remind them every Amaro is sweetened with something to create balance. If it weren't, it would be a tincture bitter.
Yeah.
Right? It would be in the little bottles. It wouldn't be in the big bottles for drinking. And that's it's a common misconception. But, you know, you got foot soldiers on the ground like me who are out there trying to preach the gospel and getting the message out there. I hope people, you get that message from me, or do you already have it?
I just get bitter from you.
It's also important to note that, like, and I talk about this at length all the time, so I won't get too deep into it because it's not my show, it's yours. You know, we only taste five things: sweet, sour, salty, umami, and of course, I think everybody in this room's favorite, bitter. But bitter is the only one of those five flavors that's an acquired taste. Your brain signals to you that it's poison at first.
Yeah.
So you have to get around your brain. The first sip is poison. Your brain's saying, get that out of here. The second sip, you're saying to yourself, it didn't kill me. It's not going to kill me. You have to convince your brain that it's okay to drink it at all.
Yeah.
So you got to come. There's a hurdle to get across before you can even really deal with taste. And it happens in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
As soon as it touches your tongue.
But it's so Moorish. It's kind of like, I kind of liken it to like wasabi. Or something like that. You know, you taste it the first time. I remember the first time I had some wasabi peas. You know, you try and you're like, "Whoa, I don't know if I like that."
Right.
But you can't stop eating it. It's the same with Amaro. You're like, "Whoa, it's a little bit bitter, but damn, that's Moorish."
And then at the end,
I want some more.
And then Moorish. The end,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's a tough lesson for people to overcome.
Probably not for Mateo.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he grew up with it.
Sure.
I remember I was stealing the small bottles from the shop, and then, we had a big empty vat. I was hiding inside and drinking the Amaro. So probably was 12 years old, and it was my first hangover with the Amaro Abano.
Oh, with Abano.
Yeah, but it was good. No headache the next morning. So.
Well, that's the other thing. The great thing about Amari is, you know, I'm probably being hyperbolous a little bit, but like the great thing about Amari is it's medicine. You're not going to feel terrible tomorrow. You're going to feel great.
If you stay with the one thing, pretty much. That's pretty much anything. I feel like if you polish off like a half bottle of whiskey and you don't like mix it with anything else. I mean, like, I'm not even talking about like beer or anything. It's like, you'll probably wake up feeling like a little sluggish, but
pretty good to go.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of testing.
Yeah, me too.
We've all done some, you know, some on our own
it's
testing.
It's exercise.
Some home study. looks like we're kind of close to halfway here, so I'm going to cut us off and have Vitor give us a shout from our sponsor for the show today, and then we're going to come right back and talk to Matteo Lissardo and G from Lissardo here in the studio.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
All right, we are back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We got the guys from Lixardo in here today. We were just talking about some of the history of the brand and our first times drinking bitters. My first time to drink alcohol was actually it was also a bitter.
Okay,
but it was Angostura bitters, and I popped the top off. I was 12. Oh, wow. I think I was 12 as well. That was rough.
Going for it,
but I didn't feel bad.
It's medicine.
Medicine. Yeah. So speaking of. We talked about some of the flagship brand, like the Maraschino and
Habano,
and you brought something for us today. What'd you bring?
Yeah,
I brought the new release. It's called Bitter Bianco, and it's Luxardo was producing a Bitter Bianco already in 1930s. This is a completely clear liqueur, so we make an infusion of the herbs, and then we distill the infusion. This is why it's clear. The herbs, they don't lose the flavor. They lose the bitterness, so we add a little bit of wormwood to the product to give the bitterness back.
So is this similar to the red bitter of yours?
Yeah, the flavor is similar. It's a little bit more smooth, more...
you want a glass, Damon?
Yeah, another one.
I think it's quite interesting when you taste it, you'll notice the true effects of distillation sort of thing. There's no lemon in there, but you get this wonderful lemon zest finish to it. That's just one of the effects of the distillation. But yeah, it's delicious.
Cool.
Yeah, I came out with the idea because a lot of bartenders here in the U.S. They were using a lot of ingredients for making the white Negroni that's becoming fashionable now. So I said, why not helping them and making something interesting for them and for us as well. So it's going pretty well.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I think it's delicious.
Yeah,
I totally get that lemony thing, but it's also kind of pithy. I'm sure the wormwood coming through and making it that bitterness on the backside.
Yeah.
It's bright.
So
and then it's slightly savory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, without
a nice amount of gentian in there as well.
Sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And if you like grapefruit, it's perfect.
Oh, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just make a highball, 50-50 grapefruit juice in this with some seltzer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Half salt rim.
Oh, man, look at you. That's mixology right there. You just went right past me.
Well, speaking of mixology, especially being a sixth-generation Luxardo, how do you feel, personally about, you're coming out with these products, your family's had these for almost 200 years. How do you like drinking cocktails, or are you kind of more of a purist most of the time?
Mateo loves drinking cocktails.
Okay.
No, I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm a big
I saw him last night not drinking alcohol at my place.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of cocktails. I don't drink wine anymore. I just go straight with the cocktails.
Oh, wow.
We have a whole range of products that I can use at home without going out and buying all the stuff. So we go from the limoncello, the sambuca. So I just,
yeah,
I think what I want and I have it. So
yeah, I mean, because I was at,
it's a hard job.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I was in Florence.
You're living a charmed life, buddy.
I was in Florence in June, and it was kind of interesting because like a lot of the spots, they were just like, all right, like they'll do obviously a Negroni in Florence is like, I mean, that's where it was invented, but there's some really cool like kind of like underground cocktail bars there now, and it's interesting to see like where the split is right now with the old school spots like Gigli, where like Luca Pici's making Negronis and, you know, wrote the book on the Negroni. It's like, and he doesn't really veer off that path too much, but you kind of go there to see him for a Negroni, you know. But you know, it's, to me, there's still some American like whiskey producers who are like, they get kind of, they're old school and they're like, dude, you don't, like, don't mix my whiskey with anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, I'm going to interject.
Because this is already.
I see you've got something to say. I was just agreeing. But I feel like, with whiskeys and, you know, gins and just, you know, spirits, I'm more inclined to think to myself, I'm okay with mixing. But the world of Amaro, which is the world I live in most of the time, it confuses and confounds me when people come in and they ask me about an Amaro, and I tell them all about it. I'm just like, well, this one's called Amaro Abano, and it's peppery and rich, and it's got a thick mouthfeel, and it's got some notes of, like you just said, mint or chocolate, a little bit of licorice, and a lot of white pepper in, on the nose. I really love it. It's very savory. And then the first thing they say is,
well, what do you mix that with?
And I'm like, what if I just offered you a cocktail that was peppery and minty and savory and all those things I just said? Would you like that cocktail? It's already here. It's already a cocktail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
I remember it was 2004. I came here in New York, and somebody gave me my first Amaro cocktail. And I said, are you crazy? You give me a cocktail with an Amaro? Amaro is, you know, I have to drink it straight, room temperature. And so you can understand all the flavors and everything. He said, oh, try. It was one of the best cocktails I had in my life. I was amused,
yeah,
about this. So we are not, we like that people use our liqueurs as much as they can, yeah, and whatever they want. So cooking, the Amaro, you can cook.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can make a nice filet mignon with a reduction of Amaro and a Luxardo cherry on top. That's beautiful.
Why not?
Or cooking, drinking, and you can, no, maybe not bathing, but
listen, man,
that would be a little bit too much.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
That's right. So, you were going to lean in and say something.
Yeah, I think a lot of producers tend to get a little bit precious about their product, and like, you can understand why. You know, you put a lot of time and effort into it, but you know, I think that these guys, you know, are not so precious in that respect. They're proud of what they've done. But I think they almost see it as like an honor that you've chosen to use it and use your, you know, your ingenuity to bring something else to the table. And obviously that's quite interesting for them as well, because, you know, coming from a non-cocktail background, you know, like you said, like, you were like, whoa, what is this, an Amaro cocktail? Are you crazy?
Right.
You know, and then when you try it, you're like, wow, you've just opened my eyes to something new.
Sure.
Like, how can you not be...
It kind of reminds me of like,
that, you know what I mean?
It reminds me of like when Jimmy Page started using, like, in the 70s, like in the early 70s, when he started using the violin bow to like make all those crazy noises with his guitar. I'm sure there are people like with Stradivarius. They're like, what the fuck are you doing with that thing that's been around forever? It's like,
right.
But you're using it in a new, interesting way. And you know what? It turned out really fucking cool.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. And it looked rad too.
It looked
in the videos. Cool. Remember when you would swing?
I have to say the Maraschino since the beginning was considered as a mixing ingredient, not as a cocktail, because the cocktail arrived a little bit later. But we they found a bottle of Maraschino Luxardo in a digging on a gold race area. It was dated 1845 in California. So that there was excavations,
sure.
Oh. And they found a bottle of Luxardo Maraschino. So that was interesting. So we were wondering how they were using it.
Right.
Probably with some soda or some.
Yeah, exactly.
Stealth.
Highball.
Man, that's, or it was probably like drizzled over like some ice cream or something.
Right. If you were super fancy back then, yeah, you could get hold of some ice cream.
Like the accidental or something.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, history. Well, so one of the things it's a rule. I was about to say I encourage my staff to do it. It's bullshit. I don't encourage. It's a rule. One of the things we do as a rule at Amore Margo is whenever we get a hold of a new product like this one, we, as a team, we have a notebook behind the bar that we keep our notes in because we don't work together, really. It's a one-man show.
Right.
But so we have a notebook behind the bar, and we get two bottles of stuff, whatever that new thing is, and we keep it behind the bar out of sight of the guest, and we taste through two bottles, and we write our notes together because, I think I've said this to you before, I'm sure, it's unconscionable for me to think about asking someone to make chicken soup if they've never eaten chicken.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to drink two bottles as a team and understand those two bottles. Then we'll start making cocktails.
Yeah, that's such a good practice. I mean, like, so we just did a
it's working out.
A big masterclass yesterday at the Dead Rabbit, obviously, and like, you know, that's one of my main things. You know, is when we're doing the masterclass to kind of understand the products better. You know, and through understanding them, you're going to be able to use them better.
Exactly.
Sort of thing, like we do, because you know, especially with the maraschino, for me, you know, it can be confusing products. Like people look at it and they go, oh, that's cherry. And then they taste it and it's like floral and vegetal. And, you know, it's got all these herbaceous flavors in it as well and very little cherry. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, tasting stuff and, you know, obviously writing down what's similar to it. And then you can work things in synergy if you want, or you can, you know, you can mix it in a different way. But, yeah, that's essential for any product, really.
Well, to that end... They dropped off a bottle of this stuff for me at Amore Margo last week, and we burned through it as fast as we could so we could enter the Lissardo competition that was at the Dead Rabbit yesterday.
Yeah, I'm wondering who won it.
Yeah, I'm wondering who won it too, frankly. I won it, sort of. I turned in a cocktail. The guys made it. They judged it. I don't know who judged that part. And I was one of six finalists. You judged that part?
No, I judged the...
You judged the finals,
the
finals.
Punch magazine.
The guys from Punch. So I don't know who did that. I don't know how many submissions they got. But I was one of six, and my cocktail was... I tried to go down the savory road with it. I used some Manzanilla sherry and some Novo Fuego cachaça, a little bit of vermouth, and even a drop of orange flower water, which I found over... I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, Damon, but I found over the years that I use that stuff. If you use just a little of it, literally one drop in the glass to rinse the glass, even though it's so floral, it reads as savory.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then I dressed it up with a Carignola olive and a Marcona almond. So it's kind of like a martini. One of the things in the world that I love is a martini. One of the things in the world that I kind of hate is a dirty martini.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like a savory martini is the right answer. So this is kind of what that was. And I won.
It was good.
My proxy, I had to send a proxy because I was doing Phil Duff's thing at Coup. My proxy was Sean Johnson. Really proud of him. He works at Amore Margo. Has worked with
me. He was.
He's worked with me for over a year.
He was a professional.
He's legit.
You told him the nice story behind the cocktails.
So. Yeah, I told him all about what I thought about the cocktail. I gave him some notes, and then I just told him to go be his charming, personable self and make the cocktail for the judges, and I guess I won.
The new kid in town.
The new kid in town is the name of the cocktail.
He did you proud.
Because that's what this is. Drink was this awesome. Is the new kid in town.
Yeah, the Vita Bianca is the new kid in town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, and I'm stoked to come to Italy.
So I'll see you too, in Torreglia.
Yeah, when are we going? This weekend?
Oh, I'm leaving on next Friday, so.
I'll go with you.
Actually, I'm leaving, going back.
So what are you guys doing? So you're here in New York to launch this stuff. Are you going to do a tour of the country, or are you just New York?
I'm leaving as soon as I finish here. I go directly to the airport.
Oh, wow.
I go to Denver.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to stay there for a few days,
mm-hmm.
and then fly to San Francisco.
You doing any events in Denver? Who are you doing
with? Yeah, with Nick Touch.
Mm.
It's from the Bon Vivant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then flying back home from San Francisco.
Yeah, are you?
It's the big office, office. So I have to talk with the big bosses of
Anchor. Yeah,
the big
get to hang out with Amanda Womack.
The big bosses. Your name is on the bottle.
There is always a bigger boss.
Yeah.
What about you, G? Where are you going?
I'm going back to London. So I've got one more night in New York, which is going to be awesome. I think Rose is going to show me around a few awesome bars tonight, which is going to be fun. And then, I think I've got a couple of hours for some touristy shenanigans tomorrow morning, and then back to sunny England.
Sunny?
Yeah.
Remember to buy a small stash of Liberty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to get some for my mom, you know.
Yeah. Very cool.
The mini Liberty statue.
Wait a minute,
Well, this stuff is delicious. We're just sipping on it neat right here in the studio. And I'm getting, the more I sip on it, the more I'm getting like...
Yeah, but the taste grass. It stays in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
So you still have, it's very good for cleaning the mouth. I had a big fish dinner with some friends, and we had just some shots of this one at the end. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Refreshing and...
Where did you have the fish? Did you make it? Did you cook?
I cook fish.
Do you cook?
I cook.
Did you catch the fish?
No, I'm not able to catch the fish. Last time I tried to catch the fish.
Phoning it in.
My fishing pole went in the water. So with the fish and said, oh, fuck. I just... actually, I'm a barbecue master.
Yeah?
A barbecue master?
Italian barbecue master.
Okay. What does that mean? Spadinis and stuff?
Spadini, why not?
So that's cooking pizza outside, isn't it?
Pizza on the barbecue.
Yeah.
You know you can cook pizza on the barbecue.
Of course.
Of course. I used to do it all the time.
Yeah. That's
back,
right.
Back when I had a grill.
That's right. Yeah. This stuff is delicious, and I'm super happy to have it join the growing number of marks of Lissardo on my back bar. I have several. I don't have everything you make, of course, but I've got the ones that I really love. And this is going to jump right into the Pantheon. My team loves it as well. You guys were at the shop last night, and the drinks that we were offering last night were their submissions terrific. For the competition that didn't Excellent. Make it.
They were great. I have to thank you and thank all your colleagues, you know, bartenders and so on, because it's I always say that I can have the best products in the world. If nobody believe in us, if nobody believe in our products, it would be nothing. So thank you guys
for
supporting Luxardo.
I think... Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for... continuing the tradition of making great stuff and then coming out with new great stuff as well.
We do our best. It's our main focus is to keep, you know, the quality of the products.
How close are you to that? You said you decided to do this. So are you the guy who makes these decisions to say, let's make a new flavor, let's make a new thing?
Nowadays, yes.
Yeah?
I can do that. But this came from a dream. I had a dream. I woke up. I went to the chemistry. I told him what I wanted. In 1 week, I had the product. In 2 weeks, I was here in the U.S. with sample bottles, and then I had the label and so on. So it was something very, very fast.
Wow.
So, cool. I mean, finally, after 20 years, I'm working in the company, somebody's trusting me.
I mean, that's a lot of... that means you got a lot of great resources at your fingertips. You woke up out of bed, and 2 weeks later, you were in New York with bottles in hand.
Yeah.
Not labeled, I'm sure, but like...
No, like
you had stuff to pass out to people.
I got great people, yes.
And you had...
Especially, it's chatting with you guys. These are, the ideas come from chatting with bartenders and...
traveling the world. You get a lot of inspiration.
Yeah. Sure.
But I think, for a product like this, what you've got to understand is, we were already making for bitter anyway. So it's kind of just like hey, what if we distill this?
Sure.
Okay. It's quite a simple... step in that respect, but if you were to come up with like a different idea, I'm sure it might take a little bit longer.
I got plenty of ideas.
Yeah.
You will see next year.
It's like a burrito and then chimichanga.
What is a chimichanga?
You just deep fry a burrito.
Okay.
Yeah. You have the same stuff, and it's like, all right. Wait, how could I do something different with this? Let's deep fry it.
What if we fry it? Yeah, I think that'll change everything. That'll change the whole outlook of this thing.
More greasy.
No. Yeah,
maybe this is the opposite direction.
You got to fry it, right?
But it's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Damon, you got any ideas what you'd like to do with this stuff? Did you enter the competition?
I've been out of town.
Yeah, you're in Portland.
Yeah. But I would have. Again.
It was quick. They brought me the bottle, and then just a few days later, it was on.
Yeah.
So it was a quick one. Are you doing competitions elsewhere, too? You doing one in Denver, San Francisco?
No. I was only here.
Oh.
So.
Because we're the best.
It's an embarrassment of riches here in New York City.
Yeah,
it
sure is.
We're always overwhelmed with too much good stuff.
Yeah.
Which, weirdly, then you can't do it all, so then you feel FOMO. So though we have the most, I think we also regret the most because we don't get to do stuff.
It's weird.
It's a weird... How do those two things go together? What bars are you going to hit tonight? You want to give some shout-outs to where you're rolling around to? Rose?
Rose. I'm on a flight. Where are we going? My liver is in your hands, mate.
Dante, your liver. The Honeywell.
Dante, Honeywell.
Maybe the Eddie.
The Eddie.
Holiday.
Holiday Cocktail Lounge. Yeah, you're not going to go anywhere after Holiday Cocktail Lounge.
So, let's see. I recommend you go to Honeywell first because it's the furthest away.
Yeah. Right,
the rest of those are kind of close to each other.
They open at 5, though. Yeah. So, you have to, like...
And I need to go see my boy Ash at Veracruz in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Cool. But that'll be the last stop because that's going to be painful.
Careful at Holiday. That's always the last
stop. Yeah.
I was there last night for Amanda Schuster's book launch and supporting her. Awesome, awesome book. But did you ever, I forgot to ask, did you ever go to Grand Army and do a stenciled cocktail with the cover of her book?
I want to, but then I also don't want to ruin it. It'll be covered in Angostura.
Mark it as yours. It's the bar copy. Keep that one at the bar.
Yeah. All right.
I thought you guys were going to do that night.
We were, but...
A little bit of Lambrusco got in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a Lambrusco afternoon.
Yeah, it was.
Nice and sweet.
Well, speaking of that, I would put a shot of this in some Lambrusco.
For sure.
Grass it up, make it a little bitter.
Yeah.
A little better.
And a little better. A little bitter makes it a little better. That's your new slogan. Yeah. Lizardo bitter. A little bitter makes it a little better.
And these are little bottles.
Marketing gold.
Yeah, you brought us the airline bottles. They're adorable. Well, guys, it's been great having you on the air today, talking about the history of Lizardo family, talking about the new products that are out already and the new products that are coming out in the future. Well, we alluded to some of them. You showed me some stuff last night that I'm super excited about. We're not going to talk about it, but I'm super excited about.
You said April next year, there will be something new.
April.
Hopefully, we cross fingers.
Stamp. What? You made this one in 2 weeks. You can make this by April?
It's not a problem of making the product. The problem is making the registration here.
Yeah, TTB, sons of bitches. Yeah. They're not the easiest folks to deal with. Yeah. But I'm really excited about that one, and I'm going to want it. That's a perfect time, too, for that particular thing. It's springtime.
It's springtime, yeah.
It's going to be a very springy thing. And also, without saying what it is, do you kind of kick yourself a little bit for thinking, like, how did we not think of this one earlier? It seems like it's so close to...
Because the base of this product, we just started producing it, so...
Sure.
So it's fairly new idea.
All right, guys, come on.
No, can't do it. Can't do it. We signed an NDA. or whatever that is. Anyway, been really great having you guys on the air today. Let me run down the calendar real fast for the listener of what's upcoming. If I can get my phone to unlock. Why is it not unlocking? There we go. Next week, Andrew Meltzer, USBG San Francisco president, is going to be on the air talking about Meltzer Seltzer. Talk about his YouTube show called Top Shelf. I just saw the first episode of it. It's charming. It's like 5 minutes long. It gets right to the point. It doesn't mess around. Following week, October 4th, will be Brian and Leslie from Subject. They have a really very interesting origin story about how their bar got started. The 11th, I have a tentative answer from Adam Rich, the creator of Thrillist. Really cool guy. The 18th, we might get the ladies from the Cat Pack in here. 25th, Jim Meehan's going to be here talking about his new book. The 1st of November will be Jane and Ala, Jane Danger and Ala Lapushnik talking about their new book that's already on shelves.
Book, yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, everybody's writing books.
Yeah. You don't have enough time to get yours going.
I know. I don't have time to do mine because I'm reading all these other books. Yeah. I'm just stealing junk. I got my Xerox machine. I'm just, like, turning in pages from other books. My book's going to be a book.
I like the other one. Right?
Yeah. My book's going to be a book of books.
Yeah.
The book of books.
The book of books. Yeah. It'll be big in Italy.
It's a directory of cocktail books.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in Italy we'll have a different name. As we changed completely the name of all the American movies. They have completely different names from the original ones. I don't know why.
It's Lost in Translation. I wonder what the name of that movie became.
No, it was Lost in Translation.
Oh. Yeah, see, even the shtick was lost in translation. So anyway, that's what we've got coming up. Some great guests and some great things to talk about. I'm looking forward to all of it. And then that's all I've got, buddy.
Yeah, what man. I'm going to be riding shotgun with you, bud.
The cocktail cowboy. Damien. Damien.
Damien.
Damien. You're driving me crazy with the puns. So yeah, tune into Heritage Radio Network for thousands more shows just like this one. If you go to our website, click on the Beating Heart and donate to keep us all on the air, because we do all this stuff for free just for you to listen. Yeah, and that's it. Guys, thanks so much for being on the air with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
And cheers to you all. Nice.
Cheers.
Safe travels. Cheers.
Thank you.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.